In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been summoned before a committee or before a court and you've had to give an account of your behaviour or your actions. Well, if you have, I'm sure you'll be very sympathetic and understanding of the apostles here in our reading in Acts, because they've been brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a council, or was a council, of 71 members, of which the high priest was also a member. And this council, this Sanhedrin, it made decisions concerning religious matters and legal matters concerning the Jews in Jerusalem. And here were the apostles in front of them. In fact, this is the second time that Peter and John have been before the Sanhedrin. And we read these words. "We gave you strict orders," says the high priest, "not to teach in his name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." They've been told not to teach, but they are still doing so. Today I'd like us to look at this passage and first of all to consider that it's true that these apostles were teaching concerning Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we'll consider the reasons as to why they continue to teach. And thirdly, we'll see the effects of their teaching. Let us take the first point. These disciples were told not to teach. Yet it's evident as we read the book of Acts, especially in these early chapters, that right from the day of Pentecost, they began to teach. Peter at Pentecost explained the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ and his death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We find the early believers devoted to the apostles' teaching. We also find that they're brought in chapter 4 before the Sanhedrin and told to stop. But what do? They go back, meet together and pray for boldness to speak the word of God, and then they do just that. And even on this occasion, when they're before the Sanhedrin, they've just been taken from the temple courts where they were teaching. And if we were to read further, we find that after this, they go on and continue to teach. When we come to look at their teaching, and Peter does summarize it very briefly in our passage, we don't have time to look at it in detail. What is very significant and interesting for us, that this is just the same message as we have here in St. Ursula's. He speaks of the death of Christ upon the cross. He speaks of the resurrection of Christ and his ascension, the demand for repentance and the offer of forgiveness. And also, he speaks of the Holy Spirit, which enables believers to obey the commands of God. So what we find is, looking at our first point, is that these apostles continued to teach, and they taught a message just the same as we do here in this church. But let us come to our second point. Why do they continue to teach when they've been told not to? Surely it would be better that they would listen. Actually, as we look at the Sanhedrin, and as we see chapter 5, we find that some of the Sanhedrin even wanted to kill these apostles. Why would they carry on doing this when they've been told not to? And it causes so much trouble and so much difficulty. Well, Peter answers in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. In fact, it's a famous verse in the New Testament. "We must obey God rather than man." And if we stop and think about it, it's really true, isn't it? The logic says that God, who's created the heavens and the earth and all that is within it and created us, well, surely his word, his command, is far greater than that of another created being. But also behind this, if we think a bit more, was also an understanding of the deity of Christ. They recognized that when Christ spoke, he spoke the commands of God. When we turn to Acts chapter 1, we find that Jesus had told them to remain in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. And then they are to be witnesses. They're to speak of the things that they've seen and heard in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. If we turn to Matthew's gospel, we have that famous verse at the end. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. And it's interesting, that command, because it wasn't just for the apostles, it was for the church throughout history. Because Jesus Christ mentions, he says at the end, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when we have our word here, we're just continuing to keep that command. And when we make disciples and baptize as well. But also, as we look at their reasons, in the first occasion, on the first occasion when Peter was before the Sanhedrin, he also said, we cannot but help but speak about the things we've heard and seen. Just think for a moment. They've seen Christ die upon the cross. They've experienced the resurrected Christ. They've talked with him. They've spoken with him. They've eaten with him. They've seen the beginning of the ascension. And they have experienced this work of the Holy Spirit. How can they not stop speaking about this wonderful news? You know, they're so overwhelmed with this great joy, with this great enthusiasm of this good news of the gospel. You know, the other day, someone phoned me up and said, I've just passed my driving test. Well, why did they phone me up? Because they were so pleased, so excited, they wished that others would know about it. And they wanted to tell someone. And it was just like that with these apostles. They wanted others to hear this good news. And that, of course, reminds us and encourages us. Because we also want others to hear this good news. So surely we should seek out and try and bring others to our services. And also, when we find people starting to come, we should do our best to encourage them to keep on coming. But let us go to our third point. What are the results of this teaching concerning Jesus Christ? We could, of course, speak of the negative consequences, the persecution, the disturbance in Jerusalem, the confrontation with the Sanhedrin, but we will just speak of the positive consequences. And when we look through these early chapters of Acts, we find again and again, a number of times, verses such as this. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew. Here's another one. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And if you read the early chapters of Acts, you can see a number of these summaries. People were coming, people were believing and were being added to their number, joining with the believers. And when we turn to the New Testament documents, to the New Testament, we find that there was great confidence in this gospel. Paul says all over the world, the gospel is producing fruit and growing. He even says that the gospel is the power of God. Not it is about the power of God, which is also true, but he says it is the power of God. These early believers, these apostles, they expected that God's word would have an effect. They were confident in it. We may look back and think, well, they were probably just looking at the situation. The writer here, Luke, was probably looking with rose-coloured spectacles. Surely it couldn't have been quite like that. But just think for a moment. This was a time of persecution. This was a time, if we look at Acts chapter 1, when there were 120 believers. Jump forward about 350 years to the year 380 AD. And there we find that Christianity becomes the state religion of the Roman Empire. Now, of course, there are pluses and minuses, advantages and disadvantages of that. But it demonstrates, it shows us something of the growth of the church and something of its growth in influence. Or if we want a more modern example, more recent example, in 1840, missionaries started to go to Nigeria, or to the region which we now call Nigeria. In fact, one of them was a former slave. They were sent by the and left from the Anglican Church in England. They went out with the same spirit and confidence of these apostles in the gospel. They went out believing that they were being obedient to Christ, and they wished to share the good news. And what was the result? Well, just before the service, I was talking a bit with John. And do you know there are 18 million Anglicans there in Nigeria? And there are, according to the figures, and there were different figures, about 80 million. In fact, John said he thought that was too low. That was even higher than that. 80 million people who would call themselves Christians in Nigeria. We can ask ourselves, do we have something of this confidence in this gospel? Do we come with a sense of expectancy to services? Do we wish that others would come? And do we do our best to encourage them to remain and stay with us? Let me remind you of what we said. The Sanhedrin wanted these apostles to stop teaching, but they continued to teach. And they did so, secondly, we saw, because they wanted to be obedient to the commands of God, to the commands of Christ, and they wanted to share this good news. And the effect was that men and women believed and joined their number. They had confidence in this gospel, this message of Jesus Christ. May we in St. Ursula's, may we be people who are like these apostles, who have confidence in this gospel and have a prayerful expectancy of its effect. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.